Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home. And with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court stripe.
Ford sends it to Curry. Sky hook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille fadeaway.
Giants for the win.
James puts up the three.
Oh, it's good!
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in! With 0.5 of a second remaining!
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And what an incredible start to the conference finals. There was 7:40 left in that game last night between the Knicks and Cavs. After jumping out to an 11-point lead early on, the Cavs pretty steadily walked down the Knicks for the next three quarters and had a 22-point lead with 7:40 left. And then one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen, Jalen Brunson goes absolutely crazy. They force overtime. They get the win in overtime, closing the game on a 44-11 run. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Jason Kidd being fired. We're going to talk about Minnesota and how they're sort of an interesting player on the offseason market. And before we get to beginning our offseason reviews, starting with J.J. Redick tomorrow, D, we wanted to take a little trip around the league. Lots of stuff going on, but nothing bigger than the first time, I think, in NBA history that both conference finals began with an overtime game. What an incredible game that was.
Audrey was basically looking at me like, are you for reals going to finish watching this? She's like, this game sucks. And she's like, I'm just going to go shower. And then I was sort of paying attention. I started to second screen the game. And then I don't know if Breen said this. We should note, this is funny for Mike Breen in that he's ABC ESPN's main basketball announcer, but his day job is actually calling Knicks games. So He's the Knicks announcer.
Regular announcer, yeah.
And so he calls as many games as he can of theirs a year, like I'm guessing probably 60 to 70 of them when he's not doing ESPN stuff. So there's no better person, I would say, to like have a feel for what's going on in that arena than Mike Breen as an announcer. And I could have swore he said at one point, this Knicks crowd has been quiet, but they're just dying to get into it.
he said it several times. He was talking about, you know, they're giving him standing ovations at the beginning of that game when they went up 11. And then Cleveland just consistently walked them down for three quarters to the point where you could hear, like, every time the Knicks scored 4 points in a row, there's a little buzz in the crowd, like, come on, guys. And boy, did they. But yeah, it took a long time for them to get there.
That was one of my wife's points. The OKC Spurs game was this constant animation of both the play on the court and the crowd. This game didn't have that for a bunch of it, as the Cavs basically just took control of the game and then were starting to put their foot on the Knicks' neck. And then the Knicks hit a three and the crowd cheered like it was a 10-point game at that point. And man, the Knicks threw James Harden into the Hunger Games. Kenny Atkinson basically walked out there as like, I volunteer him. As tribute, not me as tribute. I volunteer him because they were just switching. They were giving up the easy switch. So all the Knicks had to do was, who's James Harden guarding? OG Anunoby or whoever? We're just going to have that guy come up and set a ball screen and we're going to switch. And Jalen Brunson started to feel it. And a 22-point game is 18. And then it's 14. And then it's 16, and then it's 14, and then it's 12, and then it's 13. And the Cavs were missing free throws. It was like Cleveland got an offensive rebound. They get fouled, but they go one of two at the line. Three or four possessions in a row, the clock is stopping, but they're getting like 1 point or no points. And then the Knicks are just scoring and scoring. And then Landry Shamet hits that three that touches every part of the rim. And it's tied. I thought Mikal Bridges' two threes that he hit were huge shots as well.
He was really good in that game. Yeah.
Brunson hitting these contorting, leaning bank shots going to his right hand. And I was just like, oh, are they going to do it? And I texted you. I said, man, Cleveland got the untrustable gene. Like, I don't trust them at all. And this was when it was like 16, 18 points. Not trust these dudes to close out this game. And all of the ball movement and sort of togetherness that they had earlier in the game just evaporated into these one-on-one contests where James Harden and Donovan Mitchell were basically just trying to score one-on-one over and over and over again. And they just kept coming up short.
A lot of those plays, they had started to double Mitchell more and more at the beginning of the play just to get the ball out of his hands. And you're talking about volunteering Harden as tribute. It was really on both ends of the floor because what a lot of those offensive plays ended up as was Harden in isolation at the end of the clock versus Mikal Bridges. And he just never wins those battles when the offense, when the defense really turns up in the postseason. This has been his whole career. It's not a fluke. The grifting that he's made a career off of is nowhere near as effective, and he's just not able to score. It's yet another game where he had more turnovers than he had field goals made. Sorry, Harden's a guy who can trigger me in that there were enough like stupid stat-based, like, this guy's better than Kobe type of thing.
He's the best offensive player ever.
Yeah,
do you know how many times that was said during the stretch where he was in Houston? And to be fair to him, he was incredible, but it was this mix
of... Harden's a Hall of Famer. Yes. It's not that he's not good. It's that the playoffs reveal the truth, and they always do. And you can't, like, cheat the game. You can't, like, grift your way to production in the playoffs. But what do you think that is with Harden? Like, why is he so consistently a playoff dropper the way that he is?
I wish I had a good answer. It's also fair to point out that he's like a 17-year vet now or whatever.
Sure, he's older now. Mm-hmm.
He is much older now. But obviously, these were things that have been happening over the course of a long and storied career. So I wish I knew, honestly. I think that a part of his makeup is that he is both very capable of turning it up, and he's had some excellent playoff games as well. But in the games where things start to turn sour, he doesn't seem to have that resiliency kick up where he's just like, I'm turning it around here, which is exactly what Jalen Brunson does have.
Yeah.
On a night where you could easily say, how is Jalen Brunson able to do X, Y, and Z? It's kind of unexplainable. You can say, well, he's a very good this and a very good that. All of those same things apply to James Harden. He's very good at all those same things that Jalen Brunson is good at.
Yeah.
But their individual makeup is just different. And the way that the pressure or the moment seems to impact them is different.
I actually disagree a little bit. And the basis of why I think Harden drops off is because he has so little in the mid-range that he can rely on. How is Brunson kicking your ass? He's doing it between like 6 and 12 feet away from the hoop a ton of the time. And Harden will take that floater that he doesn't even really love to take in the first place. Yeah. But so much of his game day has been calibrated to the most efficient shots, the shots at the rim, the three ball, and then free throws. But so much of the playoffs, you got to score in the other places the way Brunson does.
I think that that's very much true, which is why I would point to some of the games he had against Detroit, where some of his big shots were just straight up middies or long twos. They were like, we're running you off of the line, or you're feeling pressure in this way. I remember he hit this baseline jumper from the right wing against Detroit. And I was just like, that's such a anti-Harden jumper. It was the sort of shot that Shea goes to, or very similar to the shot that Luka hit to beat Denver. But from the other side of the court, that's a very tricky mid-range shot. And Harden normally doesn't take that, but he did in this moment. I was just like, oh, that's a playoff level shot right there.
It is.
And so I think that's a very fair point in that. That's also a product of decision-making. He has that shot in his game. He's such a good shooter that if he decided I'm going to take 15 footers, he would make a ton of 15 footers.
He would.
I just think that he's kicked that stuff out of his game, that he no longer accesses it, or it's not a part of his decision-making tree, it feels like.
I think you're spot on with that. And that's one of the holes in it's the same argument I was making with the Celtics on why their regular seasons can sometimes not reflect what their postseason looks like, in that there's this huge amount of territory that you barely ever access. And when that's the shot that's open come playoff time, you're just so not used to taking it or taking it at volume. Because like you said, a guy like Harden can make that shot. But when was the last time he took 5 to 7 of those in a game? It's fairly rare. So let's go to break here. Come back and keep it going.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
This is sort of the push and pull that we see with Austin in sort of bringing a Laker idea back into this. Once Redick has started to coach Austin, I feel like they've been trying to exercise some of that mid-range stuff out of Austin's game. But I'm very much hopeful that this is the peak of what we've seen, and that Austin continues to keep the midi as part of his offensive arsenal, because I think it's a critical part of his overall success.
I thought the improvement that he showed over the course of the OKC series was very much tied to his willingness to take that shot.
I very much believe that that's an important marker for being a good playoff player. And I actually think that in the same ways that LeBron had to grow his game, like they talk about the failures of 2011 and like what the quote unquote holes in LeBron James's game were that sort of ability to score from places that weren't at the basket, or even the long three once he started to get the three ball going. He needed to find those parts of his game, and he became a better post player, and he started to shoot the turnaround jumper. And that by the time he went back to Cleveland, all of those things, if not mastered, they were critical parts of his overall success. I remember one of my favorite LeBron series was when he played Toronto, and this goes back to the LeBronto stuff, where he had that one game where he just shot 8 turnaround jumpers in a row, and he was going left shoulder and right shoulder, and it seemed like he was just messing with them ultimately. And then in a different game, because I think this was a different game, he hit that running one-hander going down the left sideline where he sort of like banked it in over Ananobi. And I was just like, if he's making these shots now, that's it. It's pretty much game over for everyone. And bringing it back to the Knicks and the Cavs, I'm very much interested to see how Cleveland bounces back mentally from that. I thought that this was a great opportunity for the Cavs, who were in somewhat of a rhythm, to get ahead from a Knicks team that hadn't played in a while. I think that this is the rustiest that Ananobi is going to look, for example, as well, who also hadn't played towards the end of the previous series because of his hamstring injury. And so I'm very interested to see how much resilience the Cavs have from a team that's been fairly resilient these playoffs, to give them credit in that they've won a couple of game sevens to advance. And you don't do that if you're not a resilient team. But this is a brutal, brutal loss, Pete.
Yeah, no, that's one of those games where you feel like at the end of it, you're going to have to beat them 5 times because you gave away such a great opportunity, and really hard to do against a good team, especially when they start out with home court advantage. Let's pivot, though, D. Jason Kidd got let go. And for our Luka fans who washed up on our shores, I know I saw a hilarious video of my offside compatriot, Kirk Henderson, just like cackling because he was the last guy that I think a lot of Mavs fans wanted to see go, the last vestige of the Luka trade. And Kidd has always had somewhat of a supervillain affect to him as a coach, and going back to, hey, come over here and spill my soda so we can get a little time out. That always cracked me up when he did that. Was that like 15 years ago now? Kidd's one of the great basketball minds. You and I have talked about him and growing up watching him all the way from high school and what an impact he had. But, you know, you get yourself into these little Game of Thrones type of games, and all of a sudden, you know, a year, year and a half later, you, your buddy Nico, even AD's gone.
Yeah.
Masai is now running things in Dallas. What are your thoughts about Jason Kidd being let go?
Came out of nowhere, but in listening to some of the national people talk, and Mark Stein wrote about this, that not as much of a surprise, honestly. And the tea leaves were actually there. Tim McMahon reported on this a while back, actually, that Jason Kidd had sort of made his move to try to be president of basketball operations himself.
No, Jason Kidd?
Right. And
no,
that was at the end of the season, apparently, because the Mavs have been a little bit rudderless in that they've sort of had this joint thing going after Nico got fired that they didn't really replace him. Kidd made his move for that. He was told he wasn't going to get that position. But the reporting around Masai Ujiri's hiring was that Kidd actually didn't know until the hire was made. He wasn't in on any of the discussions or anything about that. And then when Masai got asked point blank at his introductory presser about Jason Kidd's future, he gave a very non-committal answer that they were going to look at everything from head to toe about the organization. And that was a very loud non-endorsement, even though he didn't say anything bad about Kidd or speculate at all about what his future might be. He just didn't put anything down in stone that could be held against him. And so Kidd's out, and Jason Kidd, as a head coach and everything else, he's been duplicitous, basically. The way that he got out of Milwaukee and to Brooklyn, and the moves he tried to make in terms of becoming president of basketball operations there, I believe. He's consistently tried to maneuver, very little finger. He's just been compared to these sorts of characters of guys who are always sort of scheming to try to get more power and try to have more control over things. And Masai does not play those games, seemingly. And apparently it's like more people too. Like one of the assistant GMs that was sort of helping to run things with Michael Finley in the absence of Nico Harrison. I don't have his name in front of me, but he was also let go. And he was the quote unquote architect of the person who executed the Anthony Davis trade to Washington. It's just crazy to think about what's happened to Dallas. They were in the finals a couple of seasons. like
just incredible. Just the self-immolation of it all is astounding. And it was one of those things that everybody saw from day one, like, what the hell are you doing type of thing. That just, yeah, like, that's the word that comes to mind, is self-immolation. It was also very unnecessary.
It's like the second time, too, that Dallas has torn down a championship-level team in order to do what exactly? They won in 2011. And then they didn't do what they needed to do in order to keep that group together to compete longer term.
Do you move Kyrie if you're them, if you're Masai this summer?
I think I listen for sure. Kyrie's still a very good basketball player. Obviously, he's coming off of a major injury. I'd be interested to see how much he helps a player like Flagg, who was being very much groomed by Kidd as an on-ball player. But Kyrie can help slot things more appropriately there, where you don't end up having to have Najee Marshall run 20 pick and rolls a game, or give the ball to Max Christie at the top of the key and say, go create something. Like, that wasn't happening all of the time, but those guys stepped into different sized roles than they typically would have to without shot creator, the quality that Kyrie is.
Oh, 100%. They were so misaligned because they had so little in the way of guard play that I do like the idea of putting Flagg on the ball. And I thought that they started to see some of the fruit of that born in the second half of the season, especially. And then that will continue, because he is a guy you will continue to give the ball to. But them not having guard play, for example, you brought up Max. I think Max has to have somebody on the court who's a legit point guard, not just a forward like Flagg who handles the ball, but somebody who's used to running an offense in ways that can help him get shots and all of that. He looks way better when he's got legit guard play next to him. There were so many guys on their team that were forced into non-ideal roles as a result of what happened.
I don't watch Kyrie day to day to day. I've seen him in national TV games, obviously. I see him whenever he plays the Lakers. I might catch games of him when I'm watching League Pass. Do you see him as that point guard type of player, though? You know, like, I've always looked at him almost like the Allen Iverson version of a point guard, where probably a better passer or whatever, like skewing more towards point guard play than Iverson, but still what he does best is like hunt his own.
Of course. No doubt about that. And I think that we use a lot of terminology just as a basketball community that is open to interpretation, such as what is point guard play in the first place. One of the things that really stands out to me from watching these playoffs is the importance of guys who can dribble, whether that's just a straight line drive to get us into our offense really early, or somebody who can really handle the ball in a pick and roll. And if they are the number one option coming out of that, that's fine. But it sort of slots everybody else when you've got that on ball guy who can get his own bucket off of the dribble. And somebody who can do that from a guard spot that can pass, I think that is more of what point guard play is nowadays than back when we were growing up with Jason Kidd, for example, and Avery Johnson and all of those floor general types. I really just mean a guard who can get their own and pass, that shoot, pass, dribble type of triad that Redick was talking about. I think it's much more skewed toward a balance of those three things than it used to be with the point guard spot, where passing was such an emphasis. Let's go to break here, come back, finish this talk, and I want to talk Minnesota too.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say about the Mavs. Just big decision-making for them, obviously. And we'll see what happens with Kyrie. We'll see what happens with the general health of, like, Derek Lively. Dallas has a bunch of good players, honestly. They've got a bunch of players that I liked. Lively, Gafford, Kyrie, Max, Marshall. We'll see what happens with Klay Thompson. Obviously, Flagg is, like, the headline player there. And so they've got a lot of dudes I like.
Do you think they could now make a trade with the Lakers with less blowback from the fan base? Because like you said,
I agree.
I wish there were like that Masai sort of, you know, turns the page, because they have several guys. Get us Gafford, man. That would be great if we could get Gafford. Max would be great to get back. I just don't think that we can really do a deal with them.
I think it would need to be a qualitative win for the Mavs for it to even be considered.
Totally
and
agree.
I don't know if there's a deal like that that's on the table with the Lakers. Like, they don't seem like a team that's jammed up in their books. Mm-mm. Where they would want to get off of salary and they could leverage the Lakers' space in that way. But I never envisioned them being able to make a trade with the Lakers where it seems like one-sided and like, oh, well, we got salary cap flexibility and they got a starting level center. It's just like, no, shoot me in the face again. Like, no one wants to hear that in Dallas.
Right. Do that with some other team. You've got 28 other teams you could make that type of trade with, damn it. Don't do it with the Lakers. I think you're probably right about that.
But yeah, they've got a bunch of players that I love. Could you imagine Najee Marshall and Daniel Gafford on this
killer
Lakers team? Like, anyways, let's pivot. I know you wanted to talk about Minnesota. Western Conference Finals are in full swing. Minnesota was in that round the last 2 years, and now they're not. And I know you had ideas about this. So what's on your mind about them?
Yeah, it feels like they kind of bumped their head on their ceiling. They're a team, as we've talked about, the Lakers trying to position themselves as being a place that teams that are looking to get out of money can land some salary or three-team deals, things like that, that you can use the Lakers cap space. There's another class of team that Minnesota falls under that isn't necessarily up against the second apron, but they do not have the flexibility to be able to get better, and they need to. And so I could see them being very aggressive toward Giannis, but they spent all those picks on the Gobert trade, so they don't really have much to be able to do that. Minnesota, I look at them as one of the teams that they're going to need to make some moves, and I'm super curious what that looks like, both from a Lakers perspective, but even beyond. They've got four players that if they were to make a Giannis trade, assuming Anthony Edwards wouldn't be part of it, between Gobert, McDaniels, Randall, and Naz Reid. I have varying degrees of interest in a couple of those guys, and McDaniels especially. I'd be like, hell yeah, if we could be the third team in on that and get McDaniels out of it, that would be great. But I think that they're kind of at a crossroads, and I wanted to get your thoughts.
I'm not sure where Minnesota goes from here. It seems like they've built the team that they're going to have, and that's a very tricky place to be where you no longer have assets to send out. I was looking at their draft picks owed. They did a cost-cutting save at the trade deadline. They traded away Mike Conley and essentially didn't take any money back. And for that, they swapped picks with Detroit in the first round, right? So now they've got a worse first round pick than they would normally have. They ended up getting Conley back because he was traded again and then waived. And so he saw two other teams before he could come back. They ended up with Dosunmu, but Dosunmu's a free agent. But in terms of draft picks owed, they owe a 2027 first round pick. I think they own their own 2028 pick. They owe a 2029 pick. They owe a 2031. These picks are all going out. The Stepien rule means that they can't trade the ones in between. So they're sort of stuck. they were supposedly, from the rumor mill perspective, very much in on Giannis at the trade deadline, like being super aggressive. But that was requiring them sending out not assets to Milwaukee in terms of their players, because Milwaukee doesn't want their players, seemingly, right? They're players under long-term contracts. What Milwaukee wants is short-term salary relief, I'm assuming, and a boatload of draft picks. So Minnesota would have had to have traded their good players for picks to send those picks back to, like, and do like three-way deals or whatever. And that's the same scenario they would find themselves in this summer. My whole thing is the player they want to keep is McDaniels, I would assume. But McDaniels is probably the only player they have on their roster who's in that, like, makes more than $20 million salary that has real value around the league. So, yeah, they could probably get a first or two for McDaniels for sure. But what they really would want to do is trade like Randall and Gobert for Giannis. But that's not going to happen.
Or Randall and Nas. Right. Yeah.
Right. Because they don't have the draft picks to attach to those players to say, take this salary and here's a boatload of picks. If they had the treasure trove of picks that OKC has or that San Antonio has, they could be like, here's four or five first round picks and a bunch of salary and give us Giannis. And then they go into next season with Giannis and Ant and McDaniels and say like, okay, well, we've remade our team with a second superstar and we're going to go and get it. But I don't know what they do right now with this group of guys. And I don't know what kind of value Randall or Gobert or Naz Reid have on the market. You could maybe trade them for similar players of quality, but you're not going to get draft assets back in return for them. And you don't have any picks to use to incentivize teams to like give you more back, right? Like give me a better player than Gobert. You don't have the assets to attach. It seems like they're stuck the way that you said.
Several months ago, I asked a front office person, what is a bad contract in the NBA? And they laughed at the premise of the question because they're like, you know, more and more, it seems like you're either really worth something and teams will trade multiple picks for you, or you're a negative contract at this point. And so teams like Naz, or guys like Naz Reid, Julius Randle, these are good players that would be helpful for your team. But the idea of converting that into first round picks, which also we've got the new anti-tanking measures sort of on the horizon. We don't know if they're going to be implemented or not, but the idea of trading future first, I think for a lot of teams becomes less palatable in a league where, hey, we actually have more of a shot to get a top pick under these new rules than not.
Yeah, if they're going to make it so that the play-in teams are also in the lottery, more than half the league makes the playoffs already. There's another four who don't make the playoffs at all, who are in some version of the postseason, right? It's like 20 teams. The randomness that people seem to have been very upset about recently of teams that move up.
That's going to happen more.
Those teams could, it could happen more because the odds are going to be way more flat than what they are now. And so why would you give up the prospect of being a team that with flatter odds, a first round pick could have real value, where you end up the way that like what happened with the Pacers this year, where their GM is on Twitter apologizing. Right? Kevin Prentice is like, yo,
that's my bad.
My bad. Yeah. I guess, right?
Yeah. Nobody wants to be that. And who is going to be like, yes, but Naz Reid or Julius Randle helps us to a degree that that's worth it to us, along with adding their contract. Probably looking at slim pickings on that front.
And so in the future, then, like, what does that mean for a player like Anthony Edwards? And this is where like rings culture and the staleness of your situation can then start to really pressure you as an individual player to say like, okay, well, do I want to do this? And I wonder, with Giannis now potentially moving this offseason, if players are going to look at Giannis and be like, okay, well, did he wait too long the way that Kevin Garnett waited too long, the way that other players in the past have maybe waited for too long? And I don't know what's going to happen with Ant. Maybe he stays in Minnesota forever and he's happy and they're able to remake their team or whatever. They've got a smart executive there and Tim Connolly. Great. But look, if ownership isn't going to spend, if they make more cost-cutting trades, if you get worse, one of their key rotation players tore his Achilles in the playoffs, he's likely to be out all of next season. Like, what happens with Dosunmu this summer? If Dosunmu walks,
yeah,
and then
that'd be rough.
And DiVincenzo's out for most of the year, what are you going to do? And is Ant going to start to look around and be like, what's going on here? Again, like, I'm not playing those seeds because I expect Anthony Edwards to end up on the Lakers. I'm not doing jersey swaps.
Who's his agent again?
He's got a familiar name, Pete. Please.
It's Bill Duffy. It's the same agent as Luca.
Very interesting.
We gotta wrap up here.
We should, yes.
Come join me on Offside tonight. We're going to do a little watch party for game two of OKC versus San Antonio. They've also got this new tool that's super cool that we're going to be debuting tonight. It's definitely going to at least be on the creator side. We're working to see if it's going to be for the fans too, but that fans part will be soon. But it's like a customizable box score, sort of like your own dashboard to be able to follow along with the game. That is so cool. They showed it to me at the end of last week. So come join me over on Offside. Watch the game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk some Redick. And then on Friday, D, I want to talk about Giannis and the whole Giannis situation again, just as we bring up Minnesota and like, how the heck could Minnesota get them? I'm super curious of like, where does Giannis end up, whether it's the Lakers or somewhere else? So we'll get into that, but tomorrow we'll talk some Redick. But until then, this is Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys.
The Lakers win the game! The Lakers win the game! 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two. One.
Miss it.
Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
And shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yeah. With a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.